This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Wells Tech is on the air. This is episode 335 for Tuesday, April 1st, 2014. My name is Martin Spriggs.
And mine is Sally Draper. And if I was clever, I'd have an April Fool's joke to play on you, Martin. Sorry.
Yeah, well, if you kind of masqueraded as somebody else, I'd probably see right through that. But happy April Fool's. Do you celebrate in some small way?
You know, I celebrated this morning because I woke up early to read about all the fun tech April Fool's jokes on the internet.
It's something, this holiday, I mean, it's not a holiday, but nerds treat it as such.
I think it's the funnest day in tech, for sure.
They go out. They go all out.
So. Yeah, Google especially. I think there were like 10 different areas of Google that had April Fool's jokes. For instance, I even have it queued up here if I can work this computer of mine. If I share the right screen, the big one that I saw from Google was that Google Maps did this Pokemon challenge, supposedly, with going around the globe catching live Pokemon. So there are definitely some geeks out there that love Pokemon and love the fact that Google Maps did this. So fun stuff. Got to see the Pokemon. There it is. You capture it on your smartphone.
Okay.
And they go all the way through and say, you know, if you can capture them all, we'll hire you at Google to be the Google Pokemon Master or something like that. So, really funny.
That's something else. And, you know, the technically savvy of us, you know, try and, you know, pull the wool over the eyes of those that are less technically savvy, and you change the background so it looks like, you know, the blue screen of death, or, you know, all those things that we did in our past. But actually, I didn't do anything today. In fact, I didn't have time to think about it. But do we have any kind of April Fool's special content for the day, or are we pretty mainstream?
Yeah, we're boring. I do remember that.
Sometimes I wonder why people actually watch and listen to us, because if you met us on the street, we wouldn't be all that exciting, and I'm not sure we're all that exciting on the podcast either, but one reason I think people watch is because of some of the content we bring together like we do today, because of a little conference you went to last weekend where you talked to some people very excited about technology and ministry.
Wow, what a pleasure to be at the Christ in Media Conference, focusing on mobile phone outreach, especially in mission settings. I can't say enough about the information and the enthusiasm that was shared at the conference. It was very exciting to be a part of it and fun to see, particularly because the concept behind the conference was to pair students with missionaries to do research and develop mobile outreach ideas. And so these were high school-aged and college-aged students that were doing the presentations, and they really brought their A game, and they brought a lot of excitement along with it.
There's a lot there. I was at the kickoff, and you were at the conclusion, so we kind of bookended it. And I could tell already at the conference, the kickoff conference that I was at Wisconsin Lutheran College here in Milwaukee, just kind of the youthful enthusiasm. And I know you probably saw that too in some of the results and the, you know, the high hopes for what could be accomplished. And that's a wonderful thing that God puts in people, you know, just the spirit and passion to reach out, and not just because it's involving technology, but you could tell along the way, because I was involved with a couple of them, you know, asking questions of missionaries, trying to get at, you know, the best way to share God's word, and that's what I think made this project pretty cool.
Yeah, we're definitely going to include some links in the show notes so people can get more of the background on how the project was set up and the kinds of things that were being presented at Bethany last weekend. But one comment in the Together News article, and we'll have a link in the show notes, was that the impact of this project will have on the students will last a lifetime.
Right.
Those kids are are connected to missions work now. They understand that even in their corner of the world, they can have an impact on gospel outreach. And I think that was just a super valuable component of the conference for sure.
So we're going to play a few interviews here, and I'll let you set up the first one in a second. I just want to remind all of our live viewers, first of all, anybody that's listening to this later, not in a live fashion, that we always broadcast at 4 o'clock Central Time on Tuesdays when, you know, if at all humanly possible, whether one of us is here or not. For those of you that are able to spend a little time with us at 4 o'clock on Tuesdays, you have the ability to ask a question or make a comment. There's a little button there that you can press on the video, and feel free to do that throughout the course of the podcast today.
I think the button is labeled Q&A in case you're looking for it.
There really is only one button there, I
think. Okay.
So we're going to play these series of interviews that you were able to do while you were over there at Bethany Lutheran in Mankato. You want to set this first one up?
Yeah, first just a shout out to my friends in the Bethany video studio. What an awesome place to be and to have a chance to do these interviews. They just made us feel very welcome and always do a super professional job there.
So. Not the first time we've done interviews from there. We were on a different area of the set.
Right.
Kind
exactly.
of a table setup, a news anchor kind of setup. You got to be on the couch, kind of like Johnny Carson.
I was Johnny Carson. It was awesome. Oh, I loved it. Yep. Very fun. So, yeah, the first group that I talked to was the largest group I talked to. They were Team East Asia, including the missionary and a group from Northland Lutheran High School who worked with the mission team in East Asia to come up with something super exciting. You'll meet students and their instructor, Mr. Rick Grunman from Northland. The students' names are Seth and AJ, and they actually put together a website as well as program from scratch, a mobile app, so some Java programming going on there at Northland, which is just amazing. They also made some interesting worldwide connections in the process, so listen
awesome.
Up.
All right, here we go.
We are here with Team East Asia. Very excited to have a whole group of folks joining me now to talk about the project, a collaboration with Northland Lutheran High School and our mission team in East Asia. And I guess we'll start by just doing some introductions. We'll start at the end with Missionary John.
All right. I'm John, and I'm a missionary in East Asia. Been there for about 7 years working and a consultant for the team from Northland.
I'm Seth. I was in charge of programming the app for East Asia.
I'm AJ. I was in charge of the video that we used to present our information.
And I'm Rick Grunman. I am the student advisor for the team.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for being willing to talk with us for a few minutes. I feel like we should have a cheerleading squad behind you because there was so many exciting things that we got to see. You guys kicked off the event here. That was kind of nerve-wracking, I bet, to go first, but you set a really high bar. And, really exciting to see. So, kind of roll back the clock for us a little bit. Last fall, maybe September, October timeframe, you went to WLC and there was a kickoff event where you kind of got some loose guidelines for developing some phone type outreach. Where'd you go from there, Rick?
Well, from there, even at the conference, we brainstormed a little bit on ideas of things that we could do. And then we were assigned our counselor, and that's when things really started to move and go when we started talking with Missionary John. That given us some ideas on what they needed and what would help them in doing their mission work and the work that they were doing in East Asia.
And that's awesome. We'll hear that kind of echoed with other teams that we talked to today as well. But I think you guys brought in a unique aspect in that you also worked with students on your campus. You have a pretty good group of international students, so you spent some time learning from that perspective as well.
Absolutely. And that was an important component that we had some firsthand people to advise us, and one of the part of the projects that we needed to do was a research component where we needed to understand the culture we were working with and the people we were working with, so we were able to use our students as resources for that, which was really helpful.
AJ, a big component of this was showing up here at Bethany Lutheran among a whole group of worldwide attendees to present your ideas, and so you did that very well with
like a 25-minute video that you put together? Is that right?
Yes, it was 25 minutes long.
Wow, that's awesome, and just super well done. And so tell us what you learned in the process of preparing that video.
Well, I learned that Apple is a good way to make a video.
Okay.
And our international students are a very good source of information. Mm-hmm. I was good friends with them before, but a lot of the questions we asked them, they don't normally come up in conversations. So it was good to get that extra step closer to our international students.
Awesome. We use that term lagniappe. It's a Cajun term from where I come from, another culture. And that's like a little something extra, a baker's dozen. So I bet going into it, none of y'all expected to get closer with your on-campus international students. That's really awesome. So, Seth, tell me a little bit about your portion of the project. You were kind of a solo act, did something special.
Building the app was definitely difficult. It was really a struggle to try and keep up, and ran into so many errors going through it and tried so many angles to do it, but we finally found something that worked. We actually had to recruit a couple of people from overseas to help us debug some of the programs that we were writing with simple errors, freelance programmers that would help us for really, really cheap. It was kind of cool though.
That's awesome. So the idea was that you built a mobile app that the missionaries and workers in East Asia will be able to distribute to those that they come in contact with. I understand from your research and stuff that you wanted it to be in both English and other languages, and you were able to incorporate that. And then you used Java to build this app for Android devices. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. So you learned some Java along the way. Cool stuff.
I knew a lot, so I learned a lot, too.
Very good. All right. Well, tell us, Missionary John, how is this going to impact the work that you're doing there to have a mobile app?
Yeah, well, when we first started working with the team and I started talking with them, we asked a lot of questions of our workers and of our people on the field. What needs do you have? And a lot of the things that came back was we would like to have something we can give to newcomers so that they can have a daily devotion or a daily prayer or something in their language and in English so that they can, if they're whatever reason they're coming from for, that they're getting something spiritual that's able to really take them deeper into God's Word. And so our hope, and I'm really excited to be here and see what's being developed, and our hope is that it is something that we can hand out, the address to the app or whatever, a link or something they can scan so that they can get the app on their own phone and be able to use it and have updated stuff daily or weekly or however often, so they're in continually contact with the Word. And so we're really excited about that.
I'm super excited for the connection that you made with these young men and involving them firsthand in mission work. That's just so exciting, and another lagniappe that's going to come from this, that you guys are world missionaries right there at Northland Lutheran High School. So thanks for your work, and thanks for taking the time to talk with us and tell us about your project.
You're very welcome.
All right. Cool. And you can tell there's a little apprehension there from the students, but that's all part of the deal. But I think one of the neatest things you brought up in the interview, Sally, was just the connection that was made, not just to the missionary, but to the ministry, and the fact that the little thing that they could do with this project, would reach all the way around the world.
Yeah, there was definitely a very positive vibe throughout the whole conference for that very reason, Martin. It was fun to watch, and the kids kind of fed off each other because the groups didn't know what the other groups were doing. So there was this excitement of what is the next group going to bring, and they all kind of went different directions. There's so many options with technology, and they uncovered some real gems in the process.
Yep. Absolutely. So what's up next?
Next up, we have another team approach. This time, just two people. We're talking to missionary Kalyan Gallipalli from India.
Nicely played, yes.
And my friend Trent, who's a student at Rocky Mountain Lutheran High School. Unfortunately, Mr. Petters, who was their sponsor or, overseer, had to be away at the time that we needed to do the interview, so we didn't include him, but just one of the students. And for India, the needs were different, and you'll see that kind of throughout all the interviews in different countries. What they really needed was more of a website that was mobile friendly, of course, but they didn't have a web presence at all. And so these students at Rocky Mountain came up with a great website. I'll pull up the link and show you after the interview's over, but christinindia.org didn't exist before this project. So Trent's going to tell us some about that.
All right, cool.
Joining me now is the team from India. We're excited to have you guys with us. We have missionary Kalyan and also Trent from Rocky Mountain Lutheran High School representing India and the work that you've done to develop mobile phone technology there. So why don't we start with you, missionary, and tell us about your church in India.
Yeah, I came from Lutheran Mission of Salvation, India, and this mission work is divided in three different regions in India. And it's in Rajahmundry, Hyderabad, and Jabalpur, way up in the north India. And when I first heard about this project, students from Rocky Mountain Lutheran High School wanted to make a website and a useful tool that can be used in the mobiles as well. I was so excited, and the whole church was excited about it. And so our mission in this tool would be very useful in our mission setting, because not every one of the congregation elders are ordained, and in order to say that they are not trained in a seminary setting. So the tool that we produced through this school students is a PowerPoint with animation, which could be used as a very important evangelism tool in our circles. And all these elders could take a copy of it and use it as a evangelism tool in their communities who do not know about Christ at all.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Wonderful. All right, we'll have you pass the mic to Trent there. We're going to introduce Trent from Rocky Mountain Lutheran. You're here. You're part of a team. Look like a real excited team to be here. You were just one player, did a great job and everything. Your instructor, Christopher Petters, kind of led you through the process. Maybe tell us about how you got started and what all the components of your team were.
My name's Trent Campbell. I was creative director of our project, and I worked solely on the website development for our project. Now, as you said, I was one of a member of the team, and it was very crucial that we kept that teamwork led by Mr. Petter. And when we first got back from the first conference, which was in October, I believe, we realized that we had to really work with Reverend Teamwork again, and we had to, like he said, create a tool that he could really use. And so we made the PowerPoint, and then we also wanted something that was more accessible online and with the mobiles, because it's a Christian smartphone project. And that's when we started developing the website and making sure that it was available on a mobile platform as well.
Excellent. And I was really excited about your website work. You use GoDaddy as a host, I
That's
understand.
Right.
And one of the components that I thought was super cool was there's a Google Translate button on the site. Maybe tell us a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, Reverend wanted the website in English as well, because it turns out, I guess, that that's what a lot of them speak down there and read correct. And he also let us know that Hindi and Telugu were good languages to also have available to the site. So we played around with coding a little bit and talked to other helpful resources at GoDaddy that were able to help us make sure we had the integration for a translation into those two languages as well.
That's awesome. And so so people can actually surf to the site now. It's out there on
That's
the web.
Right.
What's the domain name?
christinindia.org.com.in. We'll all bring you to our site.
All right. So you covered all your bases there. Good work, Trent.
Thanks.
I was really impressed. Reverend, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about how you intend to use the website and what it's going to mean for your mission.
The website is really targeted at the audience that can have access to internet and mobile phones. In India, most of the people really don't have an internet access. Only the upper middle class and the middle class people have internet access these days, and especially the young people. So our target is to reach the young people and all those people who have internet access. And the website, on the website we have the church information, and then there is a tab called resources, where we will put all the Bible class, Bible information and all the materials that could be, bring people that do not know about Christ to Christ. And then we also have a gallery there to show our work and our progress that we are doing as a mission there.
Right. Kudos to Trent. I think it's a great design. Yeah. It looks very... Yeah. Pleasing to the eye, and I think it'll reflect your church very well. Yeah. So exciting to see.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much, Team India, for all your work and just blessings on taking it now and using it in that mission field and reaching many people with that work. So good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I'm just realizing, Martin, that I was talking to all guys the whole time. I kept trying to cheer for them, like they needed cheerleaders or something. I'm like not able to sit still, but I do want to show off the Christ in India website. You can get to it at christinindia.org, and I was just really proud of the way this turned out. I think they designed something really clean and appealing and have a lot of room for growth here. They were handing it off to Reverend Kalyan at the conference so that he could begin to make updates himself on the website, and just lots of colorful imagery and great design. I'm really pleased with it.
Cool.
Here's the magic button up here where you can convert using Google Translate to other languages. So
what you know what technology they used for that?
It is GoDaddy's own proprietary content management system. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So, clean design.
All right. Who's next?
Next up, it's a missionary's turn. We talked to missionary Mike Hartman, a friend of the show, who earned a special Credly badge for being the first ever three-time interviewee on Wells Tech. I thought that was pretty special. We also, joining him is a newcomer to the Wells Tech interview scene, missionary Rob Winlan from Malawi, Africa. What a thrill to get to talk to these two men.
Cool.
Joining me now on the missionary couch are Rob Winlan and Mike Hartman. What a thrill for me. I'm like this fangirl, so this is really exciting. We're going to start with you, Rob. Maybe introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about your mission field, and maybe the state of technology there, what you're doing with technology and the mission.
Well, hello. It's a joy and an honor for me to be here as well. I have been in Malawi since 2003, so just over 10 years. Our mission in Malawi has been there since 1963, so we've been just celebrating our 50 years in Malawi, and technology in Malawi is a little bit behind where we're at in the United States here. We're using the old technology of books and letters and publications like that. We're just getting into cell phones in Malawi, and that's what we're really enjoying at this conference, being able to see how to access that technology and open it up more for our members in Malawi.
How about you, Missionary Hartman?
Well, it's good to see you, Sally. I've been in Mexico for coming up on 15 years now. And in Mexico, we're really working also to use the cell phones and such. We're developing videos, YouTube channel, where we can put short videos up that people can share with each other to be able to share their faith one with another. So that's one of the things that we're working on right now.
Excellent. I told Mike that he probably would earn like a gold star because I think maybe you're the first three-time interviewee on the Wells Tech podcast. So kudos to you, and thank you very much for being willing to talk to us. So you were partnered with a high school. I think it was Luther High School. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And they did some work, did some collaborating with you. So maybe tell us a little bit about what the kids came up with that was helpful to you.
Well, it's really neat. I think one of the values of working with high school kids is they have some innovative ideas or creative ideas that maybe you haven't thought of or would never have come up with on your own And so they had some really creative ideas that they did, even a short 1 minute, the idea of taking a short 1 minute really grab you video, and how can you use these type of things to get people's attention, and then that lead you to a website or a YouTube channel. But then the other thing that was really neat and helpful that they did was they brought us, they took the Mensajero Luterano webpage, which is our Spanish language webpage, and they turned that into an app so that anybody on their cell phone can use that. And then the other neat thing that they found out for us was they did some research into technology and found a type of media that will help us to share information from one cell phone to another cell phone. So they did some really really creative and helpful things for the mission work there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm excited to learn more about that Lightstream, I believe it's called, and the fact that it could have the media and internet connections aren't necessarily required. It's more communicating with that device. So really cutting-edge stuff. And I think that's probably one of the impressions I take away from the conference is all these kids and all these different directions came up with some really great ideas that we can all benefit from. I know, Missionary Wendland, you were talking about the fact that technology isn't necessarily in the same place in Malawi as you're seeing in some of the other countries, but you're excited about the idea of applying some of these things there as well.
Oh, very much so. In Africa, people have found that communication has been very difficult historically, and one of the things that has really taken off in that section of the world is the use of cell phones. And cell phones in Africa, at least in the area that we live in Malawi, are usually the simple older cell phone that you might have used in the U.S. in the late 1990s. But it's been such a joy to work with the team here at Bethany to see how we can use that older technology and access that older technology to try and distribute, whether it's educational materials or informational materials, to keep our congregations in Malawi, our members throughout Malawi, connected together. Also looking at ways that in a place where there is electricity is a challenge for people, to try and use that as a way to get people into a centralized location so that where they're charging their phones, you might have an opportunity to hand out the old type of materials, paper materials, to people who are charging in a central location. So it's been really interesting to hear some of those ideas that they brought up.
Wow, I love that angle. So like we're used to these airport charging stations. Everybody does congregate there and plug in. Then make that a hot spot for distributing the great power that comes from God's Word. So
very much so. Exciting stuff.
Well, thank you both for taking the time to talk with us and to connect with the Wells Tech community. We're excited to watch from afar and support you with our prayers and any way that we can support the technology efforts in your mission fields. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, did I look a little too over the top with the whole fangirl thing? Because I was really excited to be talking to him.
I think that's one impression I'm getting just in looking at the interview, Sally, is the passion and the self-sacrificing nature of these missionaries to go and live in a foreign country for many years. You know, Mike for 15 and Rob for more than that. And it's that's an amazing thing when you think about raising a family there, all for the sake of the gospel and everything that goes along with that. In some of these cases, I know there have been some real dangers and challenges to doing that. And boy, that's what a blessing they are to the church.
Yep, they're like rock stars to me, for sure. I have to confess that when I interviewed Rob and Mike, I hadn't seen the presentation from Malawi yet. So I really didn't know any details of anything to ask Rob about specifically. So after the interview, then kind of actually winding up the conference was the presentation regarding Malawi, which I think maybe was one of the more challenging areas that was addressed.
The lack of technology.
Exactly, the lack of technology. And Rob mentioned the concept of charging stations and things like that. And I just want to do a quick screen share. This was something brand new shared at the conference. There's a group called Renew World Outreach, and they have different engineered equipment specifically to go out to remote areas. So solar powered chargers and things like that would come from this group. And they actually have a new product called Lightstream. And this is just kind of a behind-the-scenes picture of it. Tom Custer, who we're going to talk to next in the interview circuit there, actually had a preview version of a Lightstream. And basically it allows you to store media. It has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth communication capabilities. And it's all powered by Raspberry Pi, actually. So it's a small format. But people could come there and charge their devices and also get media, and they don't have to be connected to the internet to get that media. And so Bethany's concept, what they eventually presented for Malawi, was to tie a device like this with a charging station so that you would kind of attract a crowd, like I said, like we do at the airport when we want to plug in and charge up, but then you'd be able to feed them media with this peer-to-peer kind of sharing through this Lightstream device.
Great idea.
Yeah, I was just super excited, and it was neat that Tom actually had acquired one to have for people to look at and see, put their hands on at this conference.
Maybe we here stateside need to be investigating these power stations in our airports, too, that you can grab Christian content from.
That's a great idea, Martin. Yep. Get to work on that.
All right. Speaking of Christian spirit and dedication, the person you interviewed next has all of that as well, and a friend of the show. Tom's been on at least once before, maybe
even twice,
so he may qualify for one of those badges as well.
Yep, Tom Custer, Dr. Tom Custer, Pastor Tom Custer, is retired from Bethany Lutheran Seminary and also is the head of this Christ in Media Institute that's sponsored by Bethany. So he's the brains behind all of these great ideas that come out, and I just wanted to sit with him for a moment and get his impressions of the conference.
I'm happy to have with me now Dr. Tom Custer from Bethany Lutheran College Christ in Media Institute. This is the brains behind this exciting weekend that we're a part of here. Tom, you joined us in December to tell us about this conference.
Yes, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, and now here we are live together. What a treat. And I just really wanted to circle back with you and tell you, have you tell us more about what your impressions are thus far in the conference. What do you think of these awesome kids that are here?
Isn't that something? What a tremendous human resource the Lord has given us in these young people and all the things that they know that us older people never thought of before, right? Not
so
you,
true.
Just me.
No, I'm there.
Yeah. But, I could tell you a dozen stories about how the Holy Spirit has blessed us from good driving weather to get everyone here and catching up, bags, luggage, catching up with people at the airport and all those kinds of things. But it really, we've been blessed so far. We're almost a little more than halfway through. We're hearing from seven different teams of students, and each of them has a bit of a different perspective. They're working with various countries with different kinds of technology and different kinds of cultural challenges. And each of them has been in consultation with a mission worker in that field, and so they're getting a feel for the culture and for the needs of the country, and they're responding to that with some really interesting ideas about technology. And with each report, we get a few different insights, and when we're done, we should go away with a lot to think about.
Absolutely. I'm just amazed, and I've been doing this talking about technology for over 6 years now through Wells Tech, and they're bringing new stuff to the table. Yeah. Where is this stuff coming from?
Well, it keeps changing. That's
it
why
does.
Wells Tech will never go out of date because there's always
target.
Something new.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to see, the offshoots from this, these kids are getting real experience.
Yeah.
They're working on production teams and things like that. And they're connecting with missionaries. They're connecting with international students in their schools. There's just so many blessings. I'm guessing that was all part of your vision.
That was part of the vision, and a lot more will come out of this conference, I think, than just this. But if all that came out of this conference was knowing that these young people are thinking about using their skills and their interests in the service of reaching out with the gospel, that's a lot. So
absolutely.
We're pleased with that.
Real world, practical things that
these
are happening.
These things are going to be used out there.
It's not pie in the sky stuff.
That's right.
The real thing. So what's next, Tom? What does Christ in Media have on the horizon?
Well, we have to, our board hasn't met for a while, so we're going to have to get together and do something. One of the big ideas that's come forward that we want to work with is focusing on the audience of service people, both abroad and veterans that have come home, because there are big needs there. And one of our board members has been working in that field for a long time, and we wonder if we can do something with media to reach out to service people with the comfort and the encouragement that so many of them need. So that might be one of the next things that comes along, but we'll have to see.
Excellent. Well, we will be waiting to hear.
Okay.
And certainly appreciate your friendship with the Wells Tech podcast, and want to keep in tune to what's going on at Christ in Media.
We want to stay in touch. That's great.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Sally, kudos to your best impersonation of, I don't know, it wasn't quite Jimmy Fallon.
No.
It was kind of a cross between Fallon and Leno, I think. You weren't kind of in the David Letterman category, but very nicely done. Thank you for doing that. And I know it's a nightmare, can be a nightmare, to schedule or coordinate all that, and probably should give thanks to first of all, Tom, but also to Lee Hitter, who was there as well, who I'm sure helped you out.
Right, our communications guru at Wells, and his assistant, Shelley Mattis, helped as well. So
awesome. Thank you
to both Lee and Shelley. Before we leave the conference, though, Martin, I got to ask you to play one more video for me and just do a quick introduction. This one's just 1 minute long, and you heard missionary Mike Hartman make mention of it when we interviewed him. And this was done by a student at Luther High School. He wanted to use a gift that he has, and that is of doing magic tricks, specifically card tricks. And so he scripted and learned the Spanish and recorded a video to assist in reaching out in Mexico. So you got to watch, I think his name is Griffin's video.
So those of you that are listening at home will be a little bit challenged if you don't know Spanish, but you'll have to tune into the video to actually see the subtitles and to see what he's actually doing. So bear with us.
Hola, chicos y chicas. Me llamo Alejandro. Nosotros todos tenemos problemas y dificultades. Deja sus cargas a Jesús. Nosotros todos somos pecadores y nosotros somos desesperados para esperanza, amor y salvación. Nosotros somos manchados con pecado. Nosotros somos manchados con pecado. A demostrar su amor, Dios mandó a su Hijo a salvarnos. El Hijo de Dios es Jesús. Por la muerte de Jesús en la cruz y su resurrección de la tumba, nosotros tenemos vida eterna, salvación y el perdón de los pecados por fe en él. Ahora no somos manchados con pecado. Jesús es nuestro Salvador. A aprender más sobre Jesús, vaya a www.elmensajeroluterano.com. Gracias por ver.
So Griffin's goal was to point people to our Spanish language site, El Mensajero Luterano, and that's just what he did at the end of his magic trick, and I thought he did a great job. I wish everybody could meet Griffin in person. He was full of joy for bringing that to the conference and to the Mexican mission field.
Nicely done, and I can't be a judge of, a good Spanish accent or Mexican accent, but he sounded great to me.
Yeah, he had one whole semester of Spanish. That's it. So he really worked hard to sound authentic and have all his pronunciations correct. So, and they knew that was a limitation. They get it that it's not up to us to actually create the material. But he thought his card trick would be a good way to open doors.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Great conference, and we'll look forward to what Christ in Media has coming up next. Very excited to follow their work and their efforts to share the good news of Jesus with the world. Sally, we do have a ministry resource that I believe you came up with.
Yep. You're going to love this, Martin. Let me see if I can work my magic here.
By the way, while you're doing that, ministry resources are always welcome from our audience. And if you submit one before the end of May, we will enter you in a drawing for an Apple TV. So please get those in, ministry resources or anything that are technology related but have a specific use in a ministry context. So Sally's going to demonstrate one of those. We have a number of people already entered, but the list is not very long, so odds are good if you want to get your ministry resource in, do that via email or a blog post or even a video. And then the segment that we'll skip over here, equally as useful, listener reviews. If you have a piece of software, hardware, website, some kind of service that you found useful in your ministry, please let us know about it. Give us a review of it, and you'll be entered to win a Nexus 7 tablet. But time is running out. It is already April, and the end of May is the time where we're going to pull the numbers out of the hat. Sally, what do you have?
I have Granny's Bible Dojo. This is a 99-cent iOS app that kids as well as adults like me will enjoy for learning the order of the books of the Bible. So I'm going to go in and do a quick demo. Hopefully you're seeing this on your screen. This is my iPad screen. I'm going to do some training with Granny to learn the books of the Old Testament. Hopefully you can hear her a little. She's got a great granny voice.
Great granny look, and she's in the appropriate garb.
Yep. So the concept is you're breaking boards with the book names on them. It's pretty fun. You got to be sharp, let me tell ya. And I've already gone through the first five books of the Bible, so eventually they'll start mixing in the first five books, adding to the books that I'm practicing.
And what are you actually doing? What's the object?
I'm touching the books in order sometimes. Sometimes I'm not, apparently. Okay.
So you're learning, you're training yourself the books of the Bible by...
racing against the clock to break the boards, to touch the books in order. Yeah.
And then you get a score.
And you get a score, and you get some kind of coins in Granny's curio cabinet. So, very fun stuff. You want to make Granny proud. That's the object for sure.
All it will cost you is a measly $1.99, was it? 99 cents, not even a buck. So.
It's a bargain. So, that's what I have to share with you folks. And I'm telling you, I'm pretty hooked on good old Granny. And I think... that your kids, for sure, that are studying this in catechism or whatever, would enjoy this on your iPads at school. So.
All right. So that, my friends, is a good example of a, indeed, ministry resource. So I can see that being used in the classroom, certainly. Only on iPad, apparently, correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding. I didn't dig too deep, but I'm an iPad owner, so that was all I needed.
Okay. Was not your concern that it was not.
Obviously not.
All right. Let's move on to our tips and picks. My tip of the week is actually something that took me a little time to think over and ultimately agree with, because I've been thinking about it a lot lately, and that's the fact that, and you've heard it on this show, and any of you that have attended any of the productivity seminars that I run, hear me talk a lot about the use, the effective use of multiple monitors. So I even have images of how people can set it up and the technologies to do that. So the theory was the more monitors, the better, because you can then multitask. You can have email in one screen and in a Word document and a web browser. And you're not having to flip back and forth between all, between different windows. You've got them always open. Turns out, and I guess I have found this as well in many years now of using two monitors, and now I use one, is that it's not all that it was cracked up to be. There's a great article by Farhad Manju of the New York Times. And this article talks about, you know, certainly the research that went behind the suggestion of having two monitors. It turns out that a lot of the research was done by, you guessed it, monitor companies, Dell and NEC. Although I think there is some valid research, and I would say that two monitors does still have a use case depending on how you work. But in general, the theory behind his article, which I tend to agree with at this point, is that having more screens can make you less productive because of the distraction factor. So if you always have email up, and again, that's one of the biggest productivity killers, is dipping into email or dipping into Wikipedia or something that, you know, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or any of the social networks that could be on that second screen, that tends to decrease. You lose the value or the productivity gains that you might have realized through not having to open up different windows. So the theory now is keep your focus. You know, keep heads down on the task. Don't distract yourself because it's so easy to do these days, and just get the job done. If you do need to switch between screens, there are certainly keyboard shortcuts that are available today, and I've talked about many of those that would indeed help you with that. And again, not too much of a handicap to not have the second monitor up. Plus, it's cheaper that way too. So that is my tip of the week. Certainly read this article. It's called Discovering Two Screens. Discovering Two Screens Aren't Better Than One. And that's the conclusion that Farhad came to. And I am in agreement at this point. So
Martin. We got past the book. We aren't arguing about paper versus digital anymore, and now you've introduced something even more controversial. You're telling me I don't need two screens? I can't imagine.
And in fact, he goes on to say you don't even need that big a one screen.
Oh.
So just
I'm all about real estate. I need to see a lot.
Yeah. Now I would qualify that and say there are some use cases where having multiple windows open, if you're doing a lot of cutting and pasting and that kind of stuff, large spreadsheets, whatever, I think there's value there. But for most of us, we're doing one thing at a time. We're answering email, we're writing a document, web surfing, whatever. So I would say that's kind of the approach I'm taking at this point.
I'm feeling the earth move. I can't believe you're saying this.
Take it or leave it.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I have a tip, and this is just kind of a heads up kind of tip. Let's see if I can share my screen and show it to you. That is, the other day I realized that Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary has a beautiful Flickr site that's intended to be a tour of the seminary campus. So if you start with the first image that's posted on this page, there's a nice narrative written out to go along with it, and then you can advance image by image and get a really wonderful tour of the beautiful seminary campus. The beautiful, they show you cornerstones and all kinds of great stuff. And I just wanted to make sure and pass that along as a link in the show notes, because I think many people are just a little bit too far away, or maybe it's been a while since you visited the SEM campus, and this is a really wonderful presentation to give you a feel for all the different components that make up our seminary.
Nicely done.
Very much. Nicely done. Yep.
Keep our going with our picks of the week.
Sorry. Oh, you're right. I shouldn't have stopped sharing. Try that again. My pick of the week is courtesy of my dear friend. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Rob Gunther, who's up at Grace in Kenai, Alaska, who came through today with an email about a new iOS app called Air Scanner. And Air Scanner is basically turning your iOS device into a remote document camera. And you can actually use it in conjunction with a computer that's projected. So basically project whatever your iOS device is looking at. Let's see if I'm coordinated enough to demonstrate this now. So on my iPad, I'm actually launching the app. It costs $4.99, so not completely free. But once you launch the app, it gives you a website. It's basically an IP address on your network, And I'm going to try to show you, hopefully you're seeing that, that whatever my camera is looking at is showing at that IP address. Now, it's central to my network only. I can't, show it to you on a computer somewhere else or whatever. It has to be a computer that's on the same network as my iOS device. But I can actually use it and point at the book I'm currently reading, Bloom Where God Plants You, that's about missionary Rob Wendland, who I had the chance to interview, and his family and their experience in Malawi. So whatever my camera is seeing, that's what you're seeing via the web browser and this particular address that's showing to me in the app. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Portable document camera is basically how I would define it. So
I could see using this definitely in a classroom. I've always wanted to have a document camera. If you wanted to use it on a regular basis, you might come up with some kind of stand for it, some kind of place with good lighting or whatever, so that you could show students whatever document. It needs to be pretty steady to get focused and show the detail.
Yep. Sounds like a DIY project in the making.
There you go. It seems to work really well. I'm quite impressed. So
nice.
I had no problem spending $5 for a cool tool like that. Maybe I'll use it in some presentations that I do or whatever.
All right. And our thanks to Rob for the pick that he seems to give to Sally just at the right time.
Just in time picks. That's right.
Yep. Thank you, Rob. All right, my pick of the week is something that I've talked about a number of times in the past, and that is LastPass. It's a password manager, online password manager. You store your passwords in the cloud in an encrypted state, and you can install little Chrome plugins or browser plugins, or go to the website and store your password. You can create strong passwords and so on and so forth. And they have a whole series of mobile apps as well, or an app for each platform. Right? There's one for Windows Phone, there's one for iOS, and there's one for Android. So why am I talking about this again? Well, they came out with a new feature which makes it infinitely more useful on a mobile platform. Today, or until today, or until earlier this week, I guess, what you had to do to use it, for the most part, was open up the app, search for the website's, you know, username and password that you needed to enter, and then there's a little copy and paste feature in it. So you had to kind of switch back and forth. Not the greatest experience. It was useful that it was there on your phone. You didn't have to go someplace else to look up a username and password. But boy, it would have been nice, or nicer, if it just had worked just like it does in the browser, where it recognizes you're on a website and says, hey, do you want me to fill in the username and password? And that's what they've added to the tool that is on the Android platform. Sorry to say, it's only on the Android platform at this point. iOS makes it kind of difficult. They don't want you installing different things in their browser, and for better or for worse, that's what you're kind of stuck with. But if you are an Android user, happy days, because if you install the update, you will be able to go to a Chrome website. Chrome is the standard browser now on Android devices. And it will sense, LastPass will be running in the background, will say, hey, you're on a website I recognize, just like it does on the desktop. Do you want me to fill in the username and password? And voila, it does it for you.
Awesome.
That's pretty sweet. Makes the tool so much more useful. And maybe one day Apple will let that happen on their platforms. But for right now, it's just us lucky Android users.
And that's where the buck stops with you, huh? Well, I'm wondering about Chrome on the Apple devices. I mean, I get it that Safari is pretty locked down.
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe they can do something.
Yeah, made no announcement for that, because I know LastPass is available on iOS.
But, yep.
And you can, to be fair, you can use the LastPass browser. You can look up websites within LastPass, but it has limited functionality, and it will fill in usernames and passwords if you do that. But that's not what most people use it for.
Nope.
Sally, we should move along, and that is a reminder that we have final web training, and the doors are open for registration July 29th through August 1st. 4 days of training, 1 day specifically for teachers, 3 days for different levels of final web students, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. July 29th through August 1st. The website to go to sign up is bit.ly/FW Training Info. FW for Final Web Training Info for Training Info. $49 a day, or if you want to take the 3 days of the Dummies class, and you don't have to be a dummy to take it, $129 for those 3 days. Includes continental breakfast, lunch, great fellowship. Sally and I will both be there. Plus, it's right here in Waukesha, Wisconsin, at the new Center for Mission and Ministry. So spread the word. If you have Final Web people that you know, or you are one of those people, you're not going to want to miss this 4 days of training. So keep that on your radar.
Yep, Martin, I put together a quick list of exciting things we're going to be covering because there are new things with Final Web, including responsive website design, which means it looks good on any size screen. Even people that just use one screen, it probably would look good to them as well. And we also want to make sure we're plugging the fact that we're going to deal with the live streaming component of Final Web and have some hands-on experience with that as well. So good stuff.
Is this something you put on Pinterest?
Gosh, it is. Thanks for asking.
Nice job.
I created an infographic.
Infographic and put it right there on Pinterest.
I did. So, yep.
All right. That's just a taste of the things you may learn.
If you learn about Pinterest, what else do you need? My goodness.
That's right. It starts and ends there, the alpha and the omega, yep, of social networks. Community feedback.
We have a couple of things to make mention of. One of them is an article that our friend Tom Rosenau tagged on Google Plus that I picked up on. And I think Tom's actually watching. So hi, Tom. He is principal at St. John's in Pigeon, Michigan, and he tagged an article called Convert Your VGA Projector into a Wireless Display Using Miracast. So this is a tool for doing just what I just said, converting your existing VGA projector into a wireless display. And it makes use of HDMI technology and
sharing a Hangout window.
I'm sorry?
You are sharing our Hangout window.
Oh, so great.
Myself.
Well, such
myself
talent I have. So,
pick another window.
I would recommend that you read the article and not depend on me to show it to you. And we will have a link in the show notes. But I think we have a lot of people out there that have VGA and maybe want to make use of them with this Miracast technology. There's a link in the article to a YouTube video that kind of demonstrates it, that kind of thing.
Cool.
Check it out. All right. And then just a follow-up comment from last week's show, Martin. I don't know if you had a chance to watch, but Jason and I had a lot of fun talking about Minecraft EDU, using Minecraft in the classroom. And I learned a lot in the process, and Jason very wonderfully shared a lot of great resources and things. And we heard from Amanda Gertz, who is, I believe, in Mankato at Mount Olive Lutheran School in Mankato, and was really excited about the potential of introducing Minecraft EDU there at Mount Olive. And so she was asking more about the licensing for it and whether you could combine with other schools to cover the cost of the licensing, that kind of thing. And basically, I think you need to kind of have it on your own server there in your environment, on your network. But the licensing is only $41 for that school copy and then $18 per license. So if you only, if you have a small school and maybe only want 10 or 12 licenses, you know, you can do the math there and potentially get up and running for $200 or less. So
Minecraft isn't open source?
Minecraft is not. Normally, the traditional Minecraft is $26.95. It's a PC game, basically. I think they have it for PS3 and Xbox now as well, but it's a fee-based game. Minecraft EDU is a special mod of Minecraft, so in that regard, there are open source components to it. So someone developed a mod, a different version And then they do sell those licenses that are normally $26.95. Through Minecraft EDU, you can get them for $18 or 25 of them for $335. So there's some cut pricing there.
Okay.
And that's what Amanda was needing, and Jason popped right in and answered the questions. He's just an awesome guy. So thanks for your help again, Jason. And hopefully some other people are inspired to try Minecraft EDU.
Yeah, Jason was able not to fill in. It was normally our Education Technology Week, but I was not there for the first time in 334 episodes, and he filled in. Able, I was easy to replace. Jason, we're going to double your pay.
I'm sure he's excited about that prospect. Thank you, Jason, for volunteering to do that job. So
awesome. Thanks. Next week, Sally, I'm kind of excited about a conversation about Google Forms, or more importantly, how to use Google Forms in ministry situations, whether it be in the classroom, confirmation class, or from a congregation's website, all kinds of applications that Google Forms are good for, and maybe some surprising things that you may be able to add on to Forms. There's all kinds of scripts and such that are out there that make Google Forms a very powerful tool.
You know, I was going to say this isn't your grandma's form builder, but grandmas can do dojo karate. I mean, maybe I shouldn't use that technology, phrase anymore.
So tune in next week for our Working with Google Forms discussion. Sally, we have a music download. Tell the good people about it, please.
We do. Today we have a beautiful choral piece from the Wisconsin Lutheran College Choir. It's titled Softly and Tenderly, and it will be available for 1 week and 1 week only via the link on our Wells Tech show notes page at wellstech.wells.net. So surf on over there and grab a copy for your personal music collection.
Just a couple reminders in closing. Again, we record the show every Tuesday, 4 o'clock Central. You're welcome to tune at wellstechlive.wells.net. Ask your questions, participate in the conversation. Love to have you. If you can't, always can get the feed in many different locations. Just go to the show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you'll see it there. You can subscribe in iTunes, now both in audio and video format. Just do a search for Wells Tech and you'll find us. All kinds of ways to do that. And we would also welcome your feedback. We have a community feedback section each and every week, and we'd love to have you be a part of that. Share something that you find cool or interesting, a question that you might have, comment on the previous week's show. Love to hear it. So please take a look at those contribution options on wellstech.wells.net. Sally, I think we've done enough today. A little bit over an hour with all the interviews and such. Great work out in Bethany. I think that was time well spent.
Yeah, it was an awesome opportunity for me. So, good. Martin, I just want to wish you a happy April Fool's Day. Hopefully you don't get tricked any.
It's almost over. I'll try and keep my guard up. So.
All right.
Thank you, Sally, and thank you to our viewers and listeners once again. Couldn't do it without you. Tune in again next week. God's blessings.